pure light and join with the creation as our hallelujahs rise. Oh, light divine, Emmanuel has come for all mankind. The perfect love of heaven unto us is given on this holy.
Before our ladies come to sing for us, you have your Bible. Let's turn together to Luke chapter 2, and we'll continue with our theme, a Christmas message. Last week, we looked at the heavenly hosts delivered a message. It was a comforting message, a salvation message, and a directing message, and a praising message. And today, we'll look at the happy shepherds who delivered a message. Let's go ahead and read our text before our ladies come to sing. Luke chapter 2, and let's begin reading. Let's go ahead and read the whole text. Let's begin reading in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had this seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it, wondering at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Thank you, ladies. Somebody sent me a picture this week via text, and it was a picture of the manger. And above the caption, it said, the first king-size bed. Yes. What a wonderful Savior and King that we serve. Amen. If you still have your Bibles there, open to Luke chapter 2. And we'll continue with our series this morning, and next week we'll look at another message. But this morning, the happy shepherds delivered a message. And let me start by saying this. How happy are you about the message that you received? You know, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. It makes a great opportunity in breaking the ice. But really, for us as believers, we shouldn't be concerned or waiting for the ice to be broken. We should have that happy message and ready to share when we have opportunity. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us there in verses 15 through 20, they return glorifying and praising God. Now, the shepherds were considered to be social outcasts. Their duties made them unclean, and the fact they were unable to come to the temple for many weeks at a time prevented them from getting clean. Again, that aspect of being outcast. But I praise God that the crowd he came for. Amen. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And to think that God used those men who's considered outcasts by society and their job, what they did is their occupation as shepherds, but yet God chose them and using them here in the Word of God, they were praising God and glorifying Him about what they had seen. There was even excitement about going to see the Lord. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they who are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And dear friends, in God's eyes, there are no outcasts. There may be those who have gotten away from the Lord as believers, and those are on the outside of the church that haven't gotten in yet. But for God, he came and died for all that they might have eternal life. Dear friends, could just think about this, these shepherds. They are possibly the men who raised the lambs for the temple sacrifices. How appropriate that they would be the first men to meet the Lamb of God. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I get excited about Christmas, not just about the gifts and the spending time with family and all the decorations, but it reminds me, and I get excited as I think about that, hey, one day I am going to see Him as well. Not just the experience of trusting Christ, but seeing Him with my own eyes. And I can't help but to think what the choir is going to be like in heaven when we see our Lord. And dear friends, even I will be welcome in the choir. Amen. And I mean, they'll all be heavenly voices. All of us will be able to carry a tune. We'll all be there praising and shouting and serving the Lord. Dear friends, the happy shepherds delivered a message. First of all, letter A message worth following. A message worth following. Look at verse 15 and 16 of our text. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They made haste. That means they got there fast. They made no slowdown about it. They just got with it in getting there. It was a message worth following. They followed the message that they had received. Oh, to God that Christians across the world today would receive the message of the Word of God that's preached week in and week out in their local churches. How often Christians leave and feel like, well, I hope so-and-so got it. Well, I wish so-and-so would have been here today. But how many of them walk out with a message themselves, applying it to their lives to help them, to remind them, to encourage them? Dear friends, men need to heed the message of the heavens. Tonight I'll be talking about faithful men. Ladies, you need to come, but it's mostly be targeted at men tonight. But dear friends, oh, how we need in a world that we live in today, men that will heed to the message of the heavens. Dear friends, the woman at the well met Jesus. And she left saying in John 4:29, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? All of some examples we can look at the Word of God with the shepherds, the excitement that they had of praising God. Last week we looked at the angels. Oh yeah, we can accept that because they were created to praise God. And by the way, shouldn't we as well? Hey, come on now. Think about it. Folks, I don't know about you, but I get excited when I look back on my life, and I'll give my illustration once again. Back here in the past, not knowing the Lord, coming to know Christ, and now being in another part of my life, a little bit older, a lot older, but over here in another dispensation of my life, praising God. Every once in a while, I want to look back and praise God for what He did. Every time we go to Florida, every time we pass through Cocoa, when the kids are at home, we went by and I would say, kids, did it so many times the kids would say, we know, Dad, this is where you met Jesus. I went into the building. It's not a church there any longer. They relocated to another place, same church, just relocation. I remember the first time I went in by myself, asked Michelle and the kids to stay in the car, and I knocked on the door. It was an insurance company in the plaza. I went to the door of the children's church room, knocked on it, and a lady came out and asked me how she could help me, this insurance company. We're closed for lunch. I said, this is wonderful. That means there's no one else here. Would you mind if I come in and go to that back corner room on the left? I'll leave the door open. I just want to go back. And she looked at me and said, I have never had anybody ask me such a question in my life. I said, well, let me explain. This used to be a church. Oh, yeah, it used to be Dixon Boulevard Baptist Church. I said, back there in that room in 1969, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And the young lady wept and she said, I'm a Christian too, sir. Help yourself. Oh, boy, I tell you what, there's some shouting that went on the inside in that room that day as I remember what the Lord did for me back in 1969 when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Dear friends, it should be just as fresh in our mind and on our tongue every time we have an opportunity to share it, or just sometimes just on purpose, just praise God. Just praise the Lord. Hey, folks, we don't have to have a reason. We can just praise God anytime we want to. In fact, get some people excited next time you're in the mall. Just shout, hey, man, I just thinking about Jesus saving me 20 years ago. Tell you what, you get some attention, wouldn't you? Some folks might even get whiplash looking around to see who it is. Dear friends, the woman at the well, she says, come and see a man which told me all things. Dear friends, we too need to take that message as the shepherds did as well. Dear friends, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, that you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, what a better time than today than to trust Christ. But if you have trusted Christ and you know that you're saved, are we delivering that happy message joyfully as the shepherds did? Not only do we see a message worth following, let's also look at a message worth sharing. I know these overlap a little bit. I get ahead of myself sometimes. Verse number 17 and number 18. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. Oh, a message worth sharing. They spread the word about Jesus. I mean, they spread the word abroad, they said. Even a group that was considered an outcast, even a group that was considered unclean, needed to bathe and clean up before they could go to the temple, even the group that even brought the lambs for the temple for sacrifices at times, they went out, didn't care what people think, and said, hey, come and see! Hey, let me tell you what we saw! We saw more than just the first king-size bed. We saw the baby Jesus with our own eyes. Dear friends, we may not have yet seen him with our own eyes, but I tell you what, I can see him in my heart and my mind. Every time I think about or praise him for what he's done for me. What an example these shepherds gave for all Christians. They spread the word. Dear friends, resolve to tell others about Jesus. Make a decision. Mark 16:15 tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible tells us again in the Gospels in Matthew 28 that we're to win people to Christ. And we're not only to win them, we're to baptize them. And we're to teach them to do those things whatsoever that God hath commanded. And then even Acts 1:8, that we're to go and spread the word. Dear friends, being filled with the Spirit of God, the sign of being filled with the Spirit of God, is not a babbling unknown language. It's boldness in sharing Christ with others according to the Word of God. Dear friends, how excited do we get about of the Lord. Yes, these shepherds had a message worth following and a message worth sharing. How are you doing in the category of sharing the message? I tell you what, ladies, I love you. That just is just using an example, I'm not picking on anybody. The old thing you used to say about the three forms of communication, telegraph, telephone, and telewoman. When it comes to the gospel, it should be tell everyone, period. Tell everyone. It doesn't matter who they are, where they are, what they're doing. Tell everyone, every opportunity you get. Dear friends, do you really think when you go to the store that God did not know who would be ringing up your groceries? When you went to the store, do you really think God didn't know who the guy down at Costco would be watching the pumps, what was going on while you're pumping your gas? Do you really think that God didn't know when you went down to the Walmart to buy a few things, to pick up a few things, that the Lord did not know who would be there in sales and helping and pointing people? Do you really think when you go down to buy your new suit and your new shoes that God didn't know who would be serving you? Do we take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to not only tell others about Christ, but maybe even encourage others that may be discouraged? Yes, the happy shepherds delivered a message worth following, a message worth sharing. And then next, let us see, a message worth living. Oh, how Christians need to live this message on a regular basis. Verse 20, the Bible tells us, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." They not only heard about it, they saw it. And dear friends, by the way, I was there when I got saved. I know what happened, what took place. I may not have seen the Lord that day, but I knew what took place because I was there when I bowed my head, repented of my sins, and asked the Lord to save me. And dear friends, that's a story that we should be telling and a life that we should be living because it is a message worth living. And dear friends, as they went back, I want you to take note of something in verse number 20. "And the shepherds returned." Now, I think it's pretty obvious as reading the Word of God that they returned back to where they came from. Back to their flock, back to wherever they may have been. But remember something about them. They were still shepherds. They were still outcast. And they were still in the field. Their salvation, their meeting the Lord, didn't change who they were on the outside. Sure made a change on the inside. But what I'm saying is here, it doesn't matter your status, it doesn't matter your social status, it doesn't matter where you live, how well off or how much you struggle. The same God is there. It will provide and use you to make a difference. Here it is. God chose the outcast to make a difference and to share the gospel as they returned. These men returned with hearts full of praise for the Lord. Dear friends, what a difference Jesus makes. What a difference. I can remember while serving the military, pastoring there, folks are all familiar with Onslaught Baptist Church, and I can remember there one particular gentleman, and I may have shared this story. I'm getting old. I'm 60 now. I forget, so you bear with me if I've told it before. But I can't help but get over this as I think of this young man that God changed his life. He came to church several weeks. Several weeks. Before he finally trusted Christ. And the day he trusted Christ, they said, "Preacher, I'd like to invite you. I need 1 week. I'd like to invite you to breakfast next Monday morning." I said, "Why do you need a week?" He says, "Because I'm going to try to get everyone in my platoon that I can to come to breakfast." I said, "Hey, that sounds good to me. Hey, not only did I get a good meal, and by the way, breakfast is the best meal on most military installations. I was glad to go." We got there, it was just me and him. And he was a little discouraged. I thought, well, no, they told me they'd show up. There's like 2 or 3 6-8-foot tables there, and we were sitting right in the middle, just me and him. I said, "That's okay. The Lord knows. We'll have a good time of fellowship. Let's have a word of prayer." I bowed my head. We had a word of prayer. We said amen. We looked up, and those tables had soldiers standing behind each chair waiting for me to say amen, and they all sat down. We started talking, and he introduced me to his fellow soldiers, those he worked with, and after a while, there was some savory conversation going on. And you get used to that when you pastor the U.S. military around the military base. And this young man who was known to know every four-letter word in the book and knew how to use them with explanation, he heard someone and he banged the table and he stood up and said, "Gentlemen, did I not tell you this was my preacher? Watch your language." And every chin dropped and hit the table. You know, many of those guys eventually came to church. Every one of them showed up before they deployed, every time they deployed, at least asking me to pray with them as a group. And I did. I was honored to have whole platoons come into church before they deployed, not knowing a week, 2 weeks, or the next day. But I remember this young soldier, Jerry, as people looked at him, and one by one would come by, and they would see me on the base. And they'd come by and said, "Preacher, I know I haven't made it to your church. And I'm thinking about it." And I said, "Yeah, why are you thinking about it and not doing it?" He said, "Because I've seen too many soldiers make decisions that didn't pan out." And he said, "But let me tell you something. Jerry's life has changed. Jerry's life, he's not the same man anymore. When he speaks, his message is different than what it used to be. It is a message that we're listening to. It's a message that he is sharing, and it's a message that he is living." And dear friends, are we as believers, do we have that message? We said it's a message worth following. It's a message worth sharing, but it's also a message worth living. And dear friends, living, action speaks so much louder than words. Are we living it in such a way that people not only see us living it, But also when we have the opportunity to speak it, they believe it because they've seen and they've watched our life. Dear friends, his great purpose is to change sinners into saints. And he accomplished this through the power of his grace, one soul at a time. And he uses believers. Dear friends, again, these men returned with hearts full of praise for the Lord. Jesus does make a difference when he moves in. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We don't work to be saved. Our work is fruits or evidence of our salvation. And here, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Dear friends, to our neighbors, our co-workers, the people in the shops that we shop in, the places that we go, do they recognize the difference? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This young soldier, Jerry, who towered well above me in stature, this young MP, these other MPs who he worked with said, his life is changed. And it wasn't long after that we saw more MPs come to know the Lord or ask questions about what's the difference about him now than who he was 3 months, 6 months, or even a year ago in his life. Dear friends, if you know him, remember that your situation might be bad, but your God is greater. Amen. No matter what's going on in our life, how much we're struggling as believers, we serve an awesome God. No matter how difficult things are, he is there to help us. Why? Because he is a message worth living. And as we live that message, he helps us to live it. Dear friends, learn to praise him in your problems, and the Lord will honor that as you praise him. Turn your Bibles real quick as we're almost finished. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. A message worth following. A message worth sharing. And a message worth living. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, the Apostle Paul says, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Dear friends, remember, a better day awaits. If you're struggling, you're having a hard time, you're desiring to live for the Lord, you're desiring to live that life worth living, but you're struggling, you fall down, hey, get back up and keep going and trust the Lord to provide and to help you. So just remember that better day is coming, but until then, his grace is sufficient. You know, I don't know how to say this. I hope it doesn't come across the wrong way. I told you from day one, I'll try to be as transparent as I can be. Brother Rusty, I think you'll understand this. There are some days that I preach, and I feel like it was a total flop. I feel like, man, I didn't feel like I even got out off the landings, off the airline, you know, taking off and then landing. Had a hard enough time landing because I never took off. I really felt that way. And then to be at church between service that evening, and somebody or several people come by and say, you know, preacher, that's one of the best messages you've preached. You see, I think it's because I got out of the way. Come on. I got out of the way and let God work. Don't always remember what I preached. Don't always remember some things that I said. There's even sometimes, you don't even know this, or sometimes I open my text and I read my scripture and I start preaching and I never even use my outline. I like to have more of those days, so I feel like I'm out of the way even more so to begin with than when I started and from my preparation. Dear friends, sometimes as believers, we just need to understand, I want to do all I can to honor the Lord. And when I have opportunity, I'm just going to try to step out of the way and let God work through me. Because, see, we have a message that's worth following, that's worth sharing, and that's worth living. And the best way that we can live that life is to live our life for him. And when God gives us opportunity, say, Lord, help me to be your mouthpiece. but help me to get out of the way at the same time. I know it sounds contradictory, but I mean the flesh getting out of the way, allowing the Spirit of God to use what you already have in your heart and in your mind to tell others about Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us. Folks, you think there's times that we have good services here? We've had some great services. We've seen the church grow. We've seen the blessings of 100-plus people coming through the church visiting. Not all sticking. We're still working on that. But at the same time, seeing the blessings, the cantata, the fellowships, the things that we've taken place, those that trusted Christ, having a baptismal early this year, getting all excited. But yet the scriptures say that's nothing in comparison what it'll be like in heaven. Think about getting excited about a church service. Think about seeing me once in a while get excited and all revved up and wonder if I'm going to wind up and pop or not. That's nothing compared to heaven. And folks, I don't know about you. Why not? Let's go ahead and rehearse and have a good time and practice some of those things while we're here below. Because what a message that we have to share. As we think about the Christmas message, we need to be sure that we receive the message of the angels like the shepherds did. That we too might know Jesus and go away praising him and glorifying his name. So let me ask this morning, what kind of message is your life preaching today? What kind of life are we living? Like the angels, are you living the life that points men to Jesus? Or are you like the shepherds, so filled with his wonder and glory that life is fresh every day because of Jesus? Folks, I don't know about you. There's some days I feel like my get up and go got up and left. But somewhere along the way, when I don't throw my little pity party and get frustrated over it and just give it over to God and say, Lord, help me, before the day's over, I find a little more renewed vigor, a little more excitement. I may not move as fast. I may not jump as high. I may not get wound up as much, but I still got enough to get wound up and tell others about Christ. And dear friends, that's what it's all about. Let's make a decision as we think about this Christmas message. These shepherds who set this godly example here of his wonder and his glory, that they went abroad and they went back and did all they could about praising and telling others of the wonder that they saw. Dear friends, the easiest way to get excited about serving the Lord when you have an opportunity is take a moment and go down memory lane to the day you got saved. And if that doesn't crank you up a little bit, get you excited, I don't know what will. And if it doesn't, let me ask you, was it real? Was it in sincerity? Did you mean what you heard that you were asked to do? Dear friends, we have a message. Are we sharing it effectively? Let's stand together with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. Our piano will make her way to the pianist. Our pianos will make her way to the piano. We'll have a verse of invitation or two. And another question, with no one looking around this morning, let me ask again this morning. The happy shepherds delivered a message. How about you? Are you considered a happy Christian? Do your neighbors, do your coworkers, those that you see regularly, they see you as a happy individual? Do they see you as an individual that always has a message that they're following and telling others about Christ? Do they have a message that they're wanting to share? Do they have a message that they live, that they just don't speak about it, they actually live it? Is that how we are described by those who know us as believers? Father, you know the hearts that are represented this morning. We pray that you'd have your will and way in the midst of your people. Father, I pray there's anyone here that doubts their salvation or maybe has never trusted Christ, today would be their day of salvation. May that Christian that's been a little awkward, a little slow moving, a little hesitant about having the boldness they should have for Christ, would you encourage them, strengthen them? Would you challenge them just to step out by faith and ask you to use them? Father, bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Our pianos is playing. If God has spoken your heart this morning, why not come and spend time with the Lord?